Jump through the cave portal with us as we dive into Doctor Who's Eaters of the Light on today's Doctor Who After Show.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hey, guys. Welcome back to Doctor Who on AfterBuzz TV.
Hi.
It's time to get into this episode. Some eerie Doctor Who score music.
Interesting.
There Whoa. It is. And then it kicks in.
Yeah.
We're off to the races.
You go. This is me.
Well, guys, welcome back. I'm your host, Zach Wilson. As I said, we're talking about Eaters of the Light, the Doctor's journey back to Roman times to battle with space dogs. We'll get into all of that. Missy's steps forward with the overarching plot line from this season. All of it in tonight's episode. As I said, I'm Zach Wilson. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at ThatZachWilson. Tari Miller's over there.
Hello, I'm Tari J. Miller. You can find me at Tari J, TariJay. And this, the space... is Dave Childs.
This is Dave Childs.
Oh my gosh. You can find him at Mr. Dave Childs. That's MRDAVID Childs.
We sent Dave to guard the portal. So he's off playing music somewhere.
Yeah.
Just like protecting us from space dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Adrienne Snow couldn't join us today. She's traveling. But you can find her everywhere at Miss Adrienne Snow.
Yes.
Definitely, there's a Mr. Dave Child, Miss Adrienne Snow. I never noticed that.
Yeah.
Until they were both not in the room.
It's like Mr. and Mrs. Smith, except they're not married or spies. Also, don't have the last name, same last name.
Yeah.
So it's nothing like Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Yeah, it's very progressive.
Yes.
But also very dull, comparatively. So let's dive into this episode.
Yeah.
There's a lot to...
unpack.
Yeah, there's a lot to discuss, I think, about this episode, because there's just, it was interesting where it was where they chose to place it in the season.
Yeah.
But overall, just like as an episode, what did you think of it?
As an episode, I thought it was really, I can't say it was like fun, because that's not the vibe it was going for, but I thought it was a really like classic Doctor Who episode. It had the like edutainment aspect of it that I feel like they've been bringing back this season, which is really interesting. So you got a chance to learn about the Ninth Legion and like ancient Rome and Scotland. So that was interesting. I also really loved like Bill and the Doctor in this episode, because they got to be, this is the first time they've really been separate and able to kind of do their own things, especially Bill, who is usually by the Doctor's side and like is only away from him for a second.
Yeah.
I like that you really got a good amount of Bill time and saw her like how she processes things.
I did like that. I sort of wish that they had been separated by something more than just like, well, I'm going this way. Fine, I'm gonna go. Like, they just like, there's no reason to separate in like ancient Roman times, when there's like clearly a mystery afoot, because where is this army? If she found the army, there's already some problems.
Yeah. To be fair, they expected it to be everyone dead people. They expected everyone to be dead. So, I mean, there's no real threat if everyone has already been wiped out.
Yeah.
So, like, her trying to find the soldiers, basically, it would have just been her seeing them from a distance and being like, I'm right. Or the Doctor finding a bloodbath and being like, I'm right. nope, that was not an accent that was relevant to Doctor Who, but, you know, I'm going with it.
I'm going to let you have it.
Oh, thanks. Appreciate it.
I thought this episode was solid as a standalone.
Right.
Like, it had good, interesting points. Like, the monster design was cool, if not, like, maybe not necessarily, like, shocking or anything. Like, it wasn't something nothing I'd seen before, but it was still good.
Yeah.
It sort of had an Avatar vibe.
Avatar, as in like James Avatar's Cameron's
in, yes,
Avatar?
As in the James Cameron Avatar. Yes. The blue, like the multiple blue like tongue things.
Yes,
it reminded me of Avatar.
Yeah, I could see that.
I don't mean that in a bad way. I just, that's what it made me think.
No, I mean, like, even in the way that the monster was constructed was kind of the way that they did in Avatar, where they take a regular monster, let's say, like, a dog or a lion, and they make it, like, a reptilian kind of monster, and then maybe add some limbs if necessary.
Yeah.
Like, that same kind of formula.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about the monster first, just, to, like, get that stuff going. Like, so the basic rules around this guy, so there's a bunch of them living in this cave portal.
Yes.
That's like a portal. It's an interdimensional portal in the middle of Scotland.
Mm-hmm.
And these monsters come through to eat the light.
Yes.
Right?
Right. So it, it feels like there are, one could imagine, multiple breaches in other dimensions, and then they just go from dimension to dimension, like eating the light and then going back to their own world. So essentially they're in kind of like a parallel or pocket dimension, these creatures.
Yeah, swimming in that weird circle.
That was really cool. Just like seeing, I feel like it's not often that we get spectacle like that, where it's these little like fish looking creatures, and then when you get close they are the monsters that we've seen.
Yeah.
That I really enjoyed. This was a really interesting monster. A really interesting monster.
Yeah. It was cool. Like I think it also worked that it was sort of mindless. Because of the way, like at first I was a little, I tend to get a little frustrated when the monsters don't have like a motivation, but okay. I think in this case it actually worked and it served the story really well, because of the way that it was used by people to fight a war.
Yeah.
Like these creatures like on their own are just surviving. They're fighting for food. They're not vindictive or anything like that.
Yeah. You know, it actually is, it feels, now thinking about how you just put it, like the showcase of the scenario whenever you get little storylines in movies where they're like, we're going to weaponize this creature in order to make war. and that's essentially what this was, is, you know, her car was supposed to like protect the world from these things, but like she used it as a weapon and it ended up also attacking her own people.
Yeah. Well, like, when you point a gun, it doesn't always kill the thing you wanted it to kill.
Right.
If you don't know how to properly use a weapon, it can be more devastating. I think there's a bit of a nuclear war analogy going on here as well.
Mm.
In that, like, when the first atomic bombs were set off, I think there was somewhat of an unaware of, like, just how devastating it was going to be to a city. And, like, then, like, you realize what it is capable of.
Yeah.
In this case, so she releases the monster. Did it have a name beyond Eater of the Light?
No, not okay. Really.
Yeah.
I mean, because it was basically just a beast, which I like, because we don't get very many monsters that are just like just beasts. You know, they all usually have some kind of sentience, and they're all trying to do a thing. Like, even the Boneless, which were essentially from another dimension, and were just trying to figure out how our dimension works. They had a scheme, they had a purpose, they had a thing that they were trying to do. But this beast was essentially doing what beasts do, in that it was trying to feed, maybe reproduce if it could, and then, like, survive. Which is also what the human beasts were doing in this episode.
Yeah. Well, it's funny you bring up Boneless, the Boneless, because they did end up facing a very similar dilemma
mm-hmm.
to that episode. Or at least there was in some of the talk here, was the Romans and the Scottish, I forget exactly what they would have been called at this time.
Right.
But they faced off, and a big part of it is the Dark Shadow is because they couldn't speak the other's language.
Mm-hmm.
Just like in that episode, the Doctor believes that they maybe not here to kill people, but they're just trying to communicate and they're incapable of it. But yeah, in the absence of a solution to that, you have to just stop them.
Yeah.
And that's sort of what happened. The Romans came and they couldn't communicate. There was no negotiation because there was no way to talk. So war was the option.
Mm-hmm.
And then once the TARDIS,
the translation
matrix, yeah, was able to work for everybody else, all of a sudden, hey, maybe we're not all such bad people after all.
They both sides came together singing the song Savages, and then once Bill laid over a dying person's body, they were able to come to terms and realize that the other side weren't savages.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was cool. I liked that. And the other
Sorry, I liked doing a bit.
Were you?
Yes. Savages, like from Pocahontas.
I missed it.
It's fine. Oh, gosh. Get with it.
I guess I got to. I thought that worked. I thought the TARDIS information, the TARDIS translation matrix, was like, it was cool, like, that Bill had to figure it out for herself.
Yeah.
I will say that was one of the hints that I feel like this episode got shifted around in the schedule.
What do you mean?
This episode, this was episode
11. Yes.
So I feel like this was supposed to be like episode 4 or 5.
Oh yeah,
the way it was written in terms of Bill's understanding of the TARDIS, like that thing never, like, their translation matrix never came up.
Yeah,
they've been traveling all over the place into the future and it's excusable on a case by case basis, but yeah, it's one of those things that you expect her to have picked up at some point because she's been with the Doctor for so long.
Yeah.
I always assume that that's one of, like, the early things that you find out as a companion.
That's true. Though, like, thinking back to the places that they had gone, essentially, a lot of them you could assume that maybe they just spoke English outright.
Episode 10. The chat is correcting us.
Oh, yes. Forgive me, chat. I don't know numbers. Because they went to Victorian English, or England. They went to space, which you could assume everyone spoke English. They went to Mars with English colonists, so they spoke English.
Yep.
Like, so a lot of the places that they had gone, there is way to logic your way through believing that English is common.
And that's
common.
The thing. It's like, it's not like I think that they made a mistake or that there's a plot hole here.
Yeah.
It just, I get the sense that that was supposed to come earlier.
Right.
It all just seemed, is the portal?
Yeah.
Dave,
the portal
unguarded?
The sun is shining,
so
allowing David through.
Oh boy, there was a monster that came out.
It happens,
sucking all the light out.
Dave great. Child.
Hi,
everyone.
Everybody.
Hi.
I was just talking to Bilquis from American Gods, so yeah, that's where I was talking to a god of love. So.
Aww.
Deal with it.
And you made it back.
Yeah, I didn't get sucked into her vagina.
This is a family show, Dave.
Yeah.
We're here to talk about monsters murdering people.
Cool,
their bones out.
Cool.
Or something
cool
like that.
Where are we right now? Where are we talking about?
We're just talking about there's sort of a sense, and I've heard this from other people as well, but like I got the impression that this episode was originally slated to come earlier in the season.
Right.
We were mainly talking about, like, the way that Bill, like, just is learning about the TARDIS translation matrix.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that, and I was saying, the fact that Nardole is, like, stressing, like, you're supposed to be guarding the vault. It's like, we just dealt with a big thing about the vault. I feel like you complaining about him guarding it, we're way past that.
Right. It also feels like maybe the social commentary is a little lighter It's there, but a little lighter than it is on the previous episodes. And it feels like it could have been earlier in the season because it could have, like, ramped up a bit more.
It also feels like the whole Missy thing, like, her like having to take her out of the vault to deal with other stuff, like, mm-hmm. That feels like that should have kicked off, like, serialization from there forward. Like, that's, like, the moment where you break with your traditional travels.
Right, except I kind of like the discovery of, like, needing her in the previous episode, in the Mars episode.
Yes, what I'm saying is, like, I think it's cleaner if we swap these around and, like, that moment comes this week. And then we launch into whatever is going to wrap up the season and that whole plot line.
Right. So if it in the original version, it wouldn't have Missy at all at the end, or would have a different type of Missy, or would this be the
would have one? It would have, like, I would have swapped these two episodes effectively.
Okay, but it still would have had Missy just hanging out in the TARDIS.
No. I'm saying, like, once she's out of the vault, we got to be off to the races.
Right.
In terms of the serialized plot,
I disagree. I like that it is. It's been a steady, like, increment. It's been incrementally... Nope. Whatever, however I'd like to say that.
we've been using increments.
Yes, we've been using increments in terms of how much the Doctor is putting hope into Missy reforming. And so we got him hanging out, and he allowed Bill to meet her, right? And then Nardal lets her out. And this time... he's kind of just letting her futz about with the TARDIS. So, like, his tolerance for her being in that prison is, like, waning, and he's kind of, like, becoming soft. And I like that progression, as opposed to just one day she's a prisoner in the vault, and the next day he's like, yeah, let her hang out with me.
Yeah, because especially since it looks like... I mean, we can talk about predictions later and what we see in the next week on.
Yeah, hold off on
next
that
episode. But it looks like they are building to something like that. And I kind of like the idea that she's just being a mechanic around the TARDIS for a little
bit. Yeah, there is something, like to counter my own point. There is something interesting about the thought that the Doctor went on this specific trip maybe knowing... a little bit about that they would find something like this here,
right,
in order to, like, let Missy watch an adventure unfold.
Interesting. Him. So kind of being like, okay, let's see you watch how it's done.
Because they say that she was watching the whole time. Right. Like, she had her eyes on it. So this was like a, see how I solved this with, like, kindness and bringing people together. And there was goodness that saved the day, not brute force or trickery or, like, murder or any other things that you're thinking of in your head. So, like, I think that, like, again, it's the Doctor rehabilitating Missy.
Right.
That's I think, what he turned the vault into, is a rehab center.
Yeah, okay. And I'm curious if it was if there was actually something sci-fi going on there, or if she really is just gaining a conscious, like, from the rehabilitation. Like, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, too, and I'm still curious about if there's something physically actually happening, like she's purging herself in a Time Lordy way, or if it really is just she's learning how to love. One step at a time.
Aww.
You know.
After the show last week, Zach and I were discussing a theory that the Doctor was essentially, like, funneling goodness into her. So, what?
It's the hand motions that made that kind of worse. It's a lot of, like...
take that goodness.
Funneling in.
Yeah.
I also just talked to Belquist, so that might be where my mind is.
Because we know that Time Lords can do, like, a mental link and things
right.
like that.
Right, yeah,
and
yeah.
So there's a chance that he's kind of filtering some of his own, like, some of his own ideals and thoughts and ways of going about things into her, and that's kind of what's causing her to grow a conscience in some way.
I like that. I like that, especially because it's establishing more of a psychic link between the two.
Mm-hmm.
That could be interesting. And I still love my idea that she could be the next companion in the next season, just like a younger version of her.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's my big, I'm going to keep writing that fanfic until it is proven wrong.
No, I'm super high on the idea. Super high. Like, we talked about it more extensively last week in predictions. Yeah. Just like the idea that the Doctor and Missy / the Master regenerate. And whatever form they take, it's now, like, next season is the Doctor traveling with a, like, younger version of the Master. Not, like, physically younger, but not, like, time-wise younger.
Yeah, right? And especially...
And, like, training them, whether it's a man or a woman in this iteration, either way, training them to be better. That's fascinating.
Yeah, and especially since you have this nice moment where they hold hands... And they're like, we're becoming friends, and then it's then the Doctor lets go first. That hope,
he's like, eh.
The thing about hope is it's almost too tempting to hope, and it's he says a line kind of like that, which I love because it shows that he really wants to be her friend and really trust her, but at the same time he knows how dangerous that is.
Maybe it is a Time Lordy thing where he needs her to feel all of that regret in this regeneration, and then once she truly regrets her actions and then regenerates, she can become a good person in her next life,
right?
In the way that like people, like real people, like think that like if you can be a little bit better in the like in the, in terms of reincarnation, like if you can be good in this life, you will be even better in the next.
Right.
You will keep progressing forward towards Nirvana. Maybe that's how the Time Lords sort of work. Is like if you are truly trying to be good, your next life you will be good.
You would just regenerate into the band Nirvana.
Yes.
By the end of it. And then it's just...
It ends sadly, depending on which part of the
body. Maybe the Doctor could be Dave Grohl and then continue on to be the Foo Fighters afterwards, too.
Yeah. The Master is...
definitely more of a Kurt Cobain. Yeah. Definitely more.
With Missy, there's an interesting... another theory, like, they keep talking about... this. Like, Moffat keeps saying, this regeneration's gonna be different. It's going to be totally different, like, not clarifying at all what that means. And Moffat...
it's going to be a rap.
Yeah. Different like, it ages backwards, and then, like, it could be some dumb that doesn't necessarily need to continue past how it happens. There's a theory out there that winds up with Michelle Gomez playing the Doctor...
Who Michelle Gomez is.
Missy.
Okay. Oh, so they switch.
That, like, he become that, like, the Doctor becomes. If they regenerate. Like, what happens when two Time Lords regenerate, like, next to each other? Does that mess with it in some way? Like, that's why
Will they become one being? And they're just a Doctor Master?
Master Doctor.
Just talking to one another all the time, just beating each other up.
But the idea of like what happens if two, especially two Time Lords who have both had extra regenerations,
right?
Put in. Let's not forget the Master was once a little slime trail on the sidewalk.
Mm-hmm.
Go watch the movie. Go watch the Doctor Who movie that Fox made.
Yeah, please forget that.
It's in the canon, though, right?
Yeah,
it's
that's
in
the canon. Oh, that's canon.
Baby.
But just like any Doctor Who, even if it was like six episodes ago, at least as long as Moffat's running it, don't worry about that.
Yeah, except unless it's like 20 episodes ago, and then Moffat's gonna be like, remember this.
Well, that's the thing. Moffat likes to pick and choose.
Yeah.
Like, he'll ignore one thing, but like, dig super deep into like the third Doctor's like random episode to like mention something.
Yeah.
So he goes back and forth. In some ways, great, in some ways, frustrating. But that's you gotta take the good with the bad.
Mm-hmm.
The Moff with the fit.
Anyway, I'm curious how apparently, so according to Kristen Schreiber, Michelle Gomez said that she is leaving, not changing roles. I don't know. Don't trust anything you read on the internet.
You gonna trust Missy all of a sudden? I wouldn't.
She could be a liar.
That's not even how she talks. She's more of a Cockney kind of gal.
In it.
Dave, we talked about our thoughts about the monster.
Yes.
Do you have any quick thoughts about that?
I mean, I kind of like the design of it. Kind of like that it was kind of a T-Rexy with tendrils, like, feel to him.
Yeah.
And, the sucking out sunlight thing, I almost feel that was just done for the Death by Scotland line. Like, it was like, this is a funny line, I'm going to create a monster to go with it.
Yeah.
But I liked the premise of the episode. I thought the episode, I really like how it was really about how we all always forget about the ages of the soldiers that tend to fight our wars. Mm-hmm. And that was like very subtle social commentary, which I appreciate when they do. And I also like it when they hit us over the head with it. But in this case, they were really revealing that everyone was like 17, everyone was 18, and when they ended up talking to one another, they realized that they were just that young. Mm-hmm.
They all had the same, like, lives, more or less, especially as soldiers.
Right. And so because of that, I liked it. I also like how they are, how the monsters are just coming out one at a time, and because of that time vortex, it seems like they're coming out every 20 years or so.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was kind of set up really nice. In the end, they didn't really explain what the monsters were, except that they were an alien-y thing in a mound and kind of like connected to some other time realm.
Well, I mean, they...
Right?
For the most part. I mean, I feel like you got enough information in that they're interdimensional creatures that live in a certain, like, pocket space that whenever they can breach another dimension, they essentially gobble up all the light in that dimension, return to from whence they came, and then find a new one.
Yeah. Yeah. So they're locusts.
It's pretty much.
Yeah. It's sort of Stranger Things-y, like Demogorgon-y.
Yeah.
But it's like the sideways instead of the upside down.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, it's like
the sideways and spinny.
It's more of the spirally.
Spirally. Go ahead.
Coming from the spiral. I mean, the sucking the light out of people was. It is weird if you think about it too hard. I feel like if someone came out into our realm, they would just go, especially if they're an alien, figure out how to get to the sun, like, as much as soon as possible. So instead of finding people they can suck the light out of, wouldn't they go to light sources instead? And that didn't really became a thing.
Yeah, I mean, that is the one big issue with that even I had with the monster is that plants store more sunlight than animals. Right,
chlorophyll.
So it should have been that, like, I feel like this a monster would have been even more effective if it just absorbed sunlight, like, not even by its own effort. Like, just being in a place, it just sucked the sunlight from it. You know?
Or, like, I do like the idea of it eating plants to get to the light. Like, you could have done this, like, move it over a little bit, go to Ireland, and, like, have it cause the potato famine or something.
That would have been neat.
Yeah. I also didn't quite understand what they use against him is concentrated light.
They, like, it poisons the light.
Whenever it's refracted through.
Yeah, they didn't really go into the mechanics at all. It was just sort of like a...
It's just, this is a thing we have that poisons the light.
Yeah. Right. Like, this clan had figured out how to defeat it years ago, and this was how.
Okay.
Yeah. That would work if you have, like, maybe if you prism light and it turns into, like, a rainbow thing, it can't handle
the power of a rainbow. Of what it was. It was, like, the other way around, like, where it was concentrating the light instead of, like, refracting it out.
It needs to have, like, pure white light rather than the power of diversity.
Right. So it's like if you were trying to eat... If you... Our bodies are used to eating salt, but we can't eat sodium or chloride. Either of those. Whatever makes salt. Salt is sodium chloride. It's sodium and it is chloride.
Sure.
Yes.
Anyway. Hydrogen, oxygen, same thing too.
Yes.
Yeah.
That would have been better. That would have been a lot easier. Okay. We drink water, but we can't.
Another moment I really love in this episode is when Bill is with the like the Roman soldiers. Like,
yeah,
the Ninth Legion little group.
And they talk about their sexual preferences.
Yeah, when they talk about this, like, and Bill's like, "No, I don't know if you'll understand this, but like, I'm only into women." And it's like, "No, it's Rome. Like, they were more fluid than anybody today,
right?"
Rome. She's like, "Oh, that's pretty close-minded of you, Bill.
You don't get it. We're from Rome. It gets weird." It gets weird in Rome.
I just like the idea that, like, because there were other times, like, we think, like, oh, we must be the most progressive right now, but, like, we're not.
No.
There are way more progressive societies, like, in certain aspects, if you go back.
Right.
And in that specific aspect, Rome was very progressive.
Yeah.
Yeah. To the point where they're like, I enjoyed that moment.
I also kind of like that because I felt like they almost took a step back from her sexuality in a previous episode because she said, "I'm mostly like women," in a previous one. And I was glad to see her say, like, "I only like women," just because it was kind of like, okay, take a firmer stance.
Yeah.
And last time I felt like they were almost like being like, "But who knows?" And I kind of like... that's a big aspect of her that is different from other companions that we see.
Yeah.
So it's nice to embrace it.
But it's never felt exploited.
No.
Yeah.
And that's what's so great about the way it's been handled. It's been just right.
Yeah. If anything, I feel like they've been going out of their way to, like, flip all of the prejudices that she faces against her throughout this whole thing. Like, we have the thing with the blue person where he's like, "You're a racist." It's not how he talks.
Wow.
All blue people have Scottish accents. They're like, I'm a blue man.
Do abba dee abba da.
Wow, we are both from the 90s.
Yeah.
Alright, what else was going on in this episode? Nardole.
Nardole was great. He's increasingly becoming one of my favorite companions.
I knew going in, like, as soon as it got announced that he was going to be around, I was like, that is a great decision. And it has just proven better than I could have ever hoped. Because he's perfect levels of comic relief that I don't think the show has had since, like, Jack Harkness.
Yeah, and you got a different type of comic relief with, like, Rory and Amy, because Rory was very kind of like, "I don't know what's going on." Well, that was more of what they're trying to do with him, and he was the bumbling kind of sidekick. Mm-hmm. And this guy is, like, confident in what he does, knows everything. He's just also a little goofy and an idiot. In his own, like, social way.
Like, right. Yeah. Like, that's the thing. Rory was that sort of funny, but it was, like, sort of sad at the same time.
He,
like,
was very sad.
Yeah. But, like, this is just, like, this is comedy. Like, he's there to be a comic relief character.
Yeah.
Like, "I'm going to make some popcorn," which the doctor then turns into a perfect diversion.
Yeah.
But, like, the fact that Nardole just was, like, pulling out a bag of, like, unpopped popcorn... What? It was perfect.
Yeah. Well, that's the charm that you learn being a companion. You know, sometimes you just get left places, and you're like, "I guess I gotta get in with the locals. That's what I gotta do."
That would be kind of funny. Like, I feel like as a companion, like, it might be smart strategy to, like, carry a couple things on you at all times that, like, could impress the locals.
Yeah.
Like, if you go back in time, you're just like, "Well, I've got this flashlight."
Yeah. I feel like a lighter. Flame.
Learn magic. If you're going to travel, learn, like, basic sleight of hand magic, and just so you can scare people.
Unless you're dealing with Puritans, and then it is just you're going to commit some of your witchcraft. But yeah, I like how he started off in pajamas. For no real reason. There was no, like, you know, previously on, or you see him going. It just, you got the sense that he was just like, "Oh, now, okay, I guess I'll just..."
No, you can't leave! And then he walks into the TARDIS and out into Rome.
Yeah, and out. And so he's in pajamas at first. He has great moments with where he's like, he asked the doctor about like second unit. I forget exactly what the line was, but he couldn't get over the fact that the doctor didn't make it the first. He got just the second when he was part of a Roman infantry at one point. And the doctor's just like, it's a long story. I don't want
to. No, he said he was a Vestal Virgin second class.
Vestal Virgin second class?
That's what he said.
Oh, is that what it was?
Unless I very much misheard.
Oh, I just thought he was focusing on second class, really. Like second class? So it's not first class.
Did I grossly mishear that?
I kinda hope it was Vestal.
We're very split on this. So chat, please help me out here. Because either there? I'm listening to it very strangely.
Yeah.
Because Tara doesn't remember.
Nope.
I think it was something very weird. And Dave thinks it's something normal.
I just thought it was like an infantry member or something like that.
Yeah.
So that's what they were debating over. But yeah, I thought. And then later when he's decked out in all of the kind of Celtic outfit, that was just perfect too.
Mm-hmm.
I did have a question about the music and what the deal with the music was that we hear at the beginning and we hear at the end, and it's still coming out of the mountain. Is the idea that they're still in this kind of alternate dimension that's moving at a slower pace and fighting these monsters that are trying to break through?
Yeah.
And they're still there and still jamming out on their music, and that's what we're hearing. Or is it that they sometimes take breaks and come out, play their music, and then head back in?
I think that it is that essentially the music is still reverberating back into our dimension.
Right.
So, like, as they're fighting, even though for them it's like a few minutes, for us over the years it just kind of comes back, resonates through the crack, and then we'll hear it.
Right, so, right.
Yeah.
Okay. Which reminds me of my favorite Missy line of the episode, which was, I want to hide his guitar. Which was threatening to hide the doctor's guitar. Which I love that she called it a guitar.
Mm-hmm.
But also the fact that the doctor's prone to just picking up the guitar and wailing on it like a cool dad on the weekends. And the fact that Missy's like, honey, can we stop? Like, just can we not?
Speaking of cool dads, happy Father's Day, everyone!
Hey!
Hey!
For all you daddy who's out there.
Who's your daddy?
Thank you, Charlie Barajas and Becca W., who confirmed, yes, it was Vestal Virgin second class.
Vestal Virgin second class.
The doctor, apparently at some point, and I don't think this was anything on screen.
He's only been to Rome
in a few episodes. I don't know!
I guess that's what Nardal was curious about, because like, I would understand if it's a Vestal Virgin, but second class means like only certain things are a go.
What is a Vestal Virgin?
It's a virgin set up in an oracle with the right, like set up in an oracle shrine.
Yeah,
and they're kind of set as like they're put over vents of sulfur, and they tend to bleep out like, you know, prophecies and stuff. So they're like nuns for specific like gods and for to make prophecies.
Yeah, there's young women in Rome who were kept as virgins, and like supposedly they were holy.
Okay.
In some cases has such powers, or would be sacrificed in others.
Yeah, and there's probably something we're missing there, so if people want to correct
this. Yeah, I mean, there's a whole around it in like different periods of time.
Yeah. But,
like,
if Vestal Virgin number 420 is watching it, what's the type in and say what's up?
My main experience with Vestal Virgins is in History of the World.
A great joke.
History of the World Part 1. Like, virgins, put on your do not enter signs.
Oh, right. Yeah. That's great.
From Madeline Kahn.
And nice. And nice.
But I don't think that there was any direct reference to any previous Roman episodes in Doctor
Who.
Yeah,
I was almost wondering. I was listening for the Pompeii like episode where the Doctor meets Peter Capaldi playing a different character.
Yeah. Which they addressed. They addressed that back in Series 8. But yeah, they made no reference to Pompeii, no reference to a lot of people were waiting for like a Last Centurion drop of some kind.
Right. Last Centurion drop.
Boom.
My favorite dubstep album.
Rory. Oh, God. I know this is unrelated, but like Dorothy Banks in the chat just said, not quite. And it's way too early for that to have been related to anything that that we just did, but I think it was appropriate to what just happened.
Yeah, great. Yeah.
Not quite.
What did you guys think of, this is a minor point, the crows?
Yeah, that was a silly moment, and it was also one of those moments that I feel like, does everything have to be tied into the Doctor? Like, it feels like he's established the world in a way. I do like that passing joke that crows used to talk, and now they got sick of talking. Mm-hmm. And it was, I thought, kind of nice, and it was a bit of a fairy tale moment that it ends up that the crows are talking. They're just always saying the name of the last gatekeeper who went in and is kind of a tribute to that person who's continuing to save the world. Isn't that kind of nice?
It's kind of nice. It was also just a little too silly.
Yeah, really. I mean, yeah, but it's as silly as like the doctor is the first use of doctor and it's established doctor throughout the, you know, and that's why everyone's named doctor is because they always help people out and it's just like the doctor. So if they're doing stuff like that and if they're making it so it's like, oh, crows can talk. And car is what they're saying.
It's not like I thought it was bad or like I'm like. Or
sounds like you hated
upset about
that.
It. Sounds like you have a real thing against crows, right?
Yeah,
now.
You were coming into this episode being like, crows, what BS is
look,
this?
Look, I'm just saying they look a lot like ravens, and last season left me real upset about ravens.
About ravens just in general.
Okay.
Okay.
That sounds like bird racism.
Yeah. I think if it was a white crow, you wouldn't be complaining.
Mm-hmm. He says that about doves.
No dove talk.
Nope.
Good. We made you officially.
Doves, now I just want to talk about leftovers, and that's a reference most people here won't understand.
If we want to talk about ravens, I can talk about American Gods, but we don't want to do that. We don't want to do that.
Sweet Odin's Raven.
Why do doves suddenly appear every time you're near?
And what does it sound like when they cry?
All right.
I've always wondered that.
All right. Enough bird talk.
Okay. Welcome to bird talk with the boys. With the bird boys.
Adrian, please come back soon. Oh, my God.
Bird talk.
Anyway.
Do we want to talk about the next week on? Are we at that period yet?
Yes, let's talk about predictions.
Predictions.
After Buzz TV predictions.
You got about 5 minutes to talk about what looks like some craziness.
Craziness.
So I don't know if the next two episodes are really a two-parter in the traditional sense of like they are.
Are they shown together?
No. I don't think that. That's what I'm saying. I don't think that they're officially a two-parter. But what we see in that trailer looks very much like it's like the end of the season. Because it looks like it's going to be the big things. And as the penultimate episode, because we only got 2 weeks left.
That trailer
not including
showed.
The Christmas special.
Yeah.
I saw two trailers for next week on, and they both showed like a lot.
There were two?
There was two. There was one. They were just the same thing, except like kind of edited around a bit. Mm-hmm. But so next week we do get the original Cybermen,
the Mondasian Cybermen.
We do get a ship that is close to a black hole, so that the front of the ship is at a different time, is running at a different time and speed than the back of the ship, which is kind of cool. I'm excited for playing with time hole, black hole stuff, and how time kind of relates to one another. And also, we get John Sim.
Yes.
Yeah, saying, like, give us a little kiss.
Mm. Yeah, and I'm curious about that. I don't know what, because I don't think we see, in both of the ones I saw, I think he was dancing with Pearl, but I don't think he's dancing with Missy. So I don't know if we see him meeting
Pearl,
Missy.
Pearl Mackey, Bill.
Right.
Pearl Mackey sounds like a character on Doctor Who as well, so I always kind of mix up Pearl and Bill together. Anyways, So we do see him dancing with, I think, Bill, but we don't know if he meets Missy. We do know this is kind of a test run for Missy, mm-hmm. as kind of she puts on her – she tries to do, like, a doctor impersonation to try and save the day.
Yeah, it looked like he's, like, putting her in a simulator.
Yeah, almost like, a little it, like
it's
that.
Like, it's like
– Or he's kind of like, okay, we'll go on this mission. We'll send out Missy, but I'll be in the TARDIS. I'll be ready to come out and help if anything goes wrong.
Yeah.
So just to kind of test Missy out.
I like the idea of a simulation, though. Like, if the doctor was going to train, like, a squad of doctors, this is like the Kobayashi Maru test.
That would be we might find out that it turns into a simulation. That would be an interesting theory. That it's maybe an episode where we think all this stuff is happening and it turns out to be a simulation.
Yeah. So we did that like 3 weeks ago.
Well, except the doctor is now using it instead of the monks.
Yeah.
So
I would just want to be in on it. Like I would want to play it. I would love to see that from the doctor's perspective.
Right. Yeah.
Like tricking Missy. Like, because we saw what it looks like from inside that simulation. What does it look like from the other side?
Right.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to imagine, like, from what we got in the previews, I feel like we start with a simulation and then the actual thing with the ship takes place. And so then he's like, well, this is a good chance to give her like a real test run outside of the simulation. I feel like I have a theory that Sims comes back either because of the different timeline in the ship. So essentially once she crosses that threshold, she becomes the old master. Or she gets in such a dire situation that she feels like she can't rely on the goodness that she's acquired in this form, and so she decides to revert back to Sims, who she feels her, like, prime.
Interesting.
Yeah, but Sims is, like, almost it's like the Joker version of him.
Or maybe, like, we could be going, if we're repenting, like, we could be going back to the birth of Missy, like Sims regeneration. So this could be like his last words kind of thing. If we go to Gallifrey to, like, find him, like, locked away.
Yeah.
Before he that's still assuming, because we talked about this last week, that, like, we were all operating under the assumption that Missy comes after Sim.
Mm-hmm.
But they've never explicitly said that.
Yeah.
We had a theory last week that Missy turns into the old master who was hiding and had hidden his memories away in the watch because he couldn't couldn't take them any longer. Yes. Putting him away. I don't know. I don't know that all the adds war, up.
Which I think I saw something that maybe there's a new audiobook called something with the war with the War Master.
Yeah.
And that's him. And he's being referred to as the War Master.
Interesting.
As much as the War Doctor is.
Okay.
So maybe.
I'm interested. Next week's going to be a huge episode.
Ooh.
And we are going to break that down in all the ways. I can't wait to see why and how the original Cybermen come back. The original Cybermen, who are responsible for the Doctor's first death ever.
Who makes those Cybermen, balaclavas?
Like two massively important... Two people who have killed the Doctor and caused regenerations. The Mondasian Cybermen and the John Sim Master.
Oh,
we're going to get into all of that next week on the Doctor Who After Show. Thank you guys so much for joining us. I've been your host, Zach Wilson. Find me on Twitter and Instagram at ThatZachWilson. Put yourselves over, guys.
We're the Bird Boys.
Yeah, cock, cock, cock. And you can find us Bird Boys on Twitter.
Cheep, 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 cheep.
Tweet at us at Tari J and
at MR Dave Child. Bird Boys.
Bird Boys.
This has been the Doctor Who After Show.
Coo-coo-coo-coo-coo-coo-coo.
Thank you for dealing with us.
Tweet tweet.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Bird Boys!
Oh my God!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.